If the ice sets north and takes the ship clear of land, we will proceed to New Zealand, bunker, get extra officer and 4 volunteers, provisions, etc., push south with all speed to the barrier, put party onto the barrier about 2 miles east of Cape Crozier, and land all necessary stores and requirements. The ship will stand off until able to reach Cape Evans. If necessary, party will depot all stores possible at Corner Camp and go on to Cape Evans. If worst has happened, my party will lay out the depot at the Beardmore for Shackleton. If the ship is released from the ice after September, we must endeavour to reach Cape Evans before going north to bunker. We have not enough coal to hang about the Sound for many days. May 28th. By the position obtained by meridian altitude of stars and bearing of Mount Melbourne, we have drifted 36 miles northeast from last bearings taken on the 23rd inst. The most of this must have been during the blizzard of the 24th. Mount Melbourne is 111 miles due north of us, and there is some doubt in my mind as to whether the peak which we can see is this mountain. There may be a mirage. In the evening had the football out on the ice by the light of a beautiful moon. The exercise and break from routine are a splendid tonic. Ice noises send all hands on board. June 1st. Thick, hazy weather. In the afternoon a black streak appeared in the ice about a cable's length to the westward and stretching north and south. 8 p.m. The black line widened and showed long lane of open water. Apparently we are fast in a flow which has broken from the main field. With thick weather we are uncertain of our position and drift. It will be interesting to find out what this crack in the ice signifies. I am convinced that there is open water not far distant in the Ross Sea. Tonight, Hook is trying to call up Cape Evans. If the people at the hut have rigged the set which was left there, they will hear all well from the Aurora. I hope they have. The messages were not received. June 8th. Made our latitude 75 degrees 59 minutes south by altitude of Sirius. This is a very monotonous life, but all hands appear to be happy and contented. Find that we are not too well off for meals, and will have to cut rations a little. Grady is taking exercise now and should soon be well again. He seems very anxious to get to work again and is a good man. No wireless call tonight, as there is a temporary breakdown, condenser jar broken. There is a very faint display of aurora in northern sky. It comes and goes almost imperceptibly, a most fascinating sight. The temperature is minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit. 52 degrees of frost is much too cold to allow one to stand for long. June 11th. Walked over to a very high-pressure ridge about a quarter of a mile north-northwest of the ship. In the dim light, walking over the ice is far from being monotonous, as it is almost impossible to see obstacles, such as small, snowed-up ridges, which makes us wary and cautious. A dip in the sea would be the grand finale, but there is little risk of this, as the water freezes as soon as a lane opens in the ice. The pressure ridge is about 15 to 20 feet high for several hundred feet, and the ice all about it is bent up in a most extraordinary manner. At 9 p.m. Hook called Cape Evans. All well, Aurora, etc. 10 p.m. weather reports for 8 p.m. sent to Wellington, New Zealand and Melbourne, via Macquarie Island. The dispatch of messages from the Aurora was continued, but it was learned afterwards that none of them had been received by any station. June 13th. The temperature in the chart room ranges from zero to a little above freezing point. This is very disturbing factor in rates of the chronometers, 5 in number, 3 GMT and 2 sidereal time, which are kept in cases in a padded box, each case covered by a piece of blanket, and the box covered by a heavy coat. In any enclosed place where people pass their time, the niches and places where no heat penetrates are covered with frozen breath. There will be a big thaw out when the temperature rises. June 14th. Mount Melbourne is bearing north 14 degrees west, true. Our approximate position is 40 miles east-northeast of Nordenskjöld Ice Tongue. At 9 p.m. Hook called Cape Evans and sent weather reports to Wellington and Melbourne via Macquarie Island. Hook and Ninnis on several evenings at about 11 o'clock have heard what happened to be faint messages, but unreadable. He sent word to Macquarie Island of this in hopes that they would hear and increase the power. June 20th. During this last blow, with its accompanying drift snow, there has been much leakage of current from the aerial during the sending of reports. This is apparently due to induction caused by the snow accumulating on the insulator aloft and thus rendering them useless, and probably to increased inductive force of the current in a body of snowdrift. Hook appears to be somewhat downhearted over it, and, after discussing the matter, gave me a written report on the non-success, up to the present time, of his endeavours to establish communication. He thinks that the proximity of the magnetic pole and Aurora Australis might affect things. The radiation is good and sufficient for normal conditions. His suggestion to lead the downlead wires out to the ahead and astern would increase scope, but I cannot countenance it owing to unsettled state of ice and our too lofty poles. June 21st. Blowing gale from southwest throughout day, but for short spell of westerly breeze about 5 p.m. Light drift at frequent intervals, very hazy, and consequently no land in sight during short twilight. Very hard up for mitts and clothing. What little we have on board I have put to one side for the people at the hut. Have given Thompson instructions to turn crew to making pair mitts and helmet out of Jaeger fleece for all hands forward. With strict economy, we should make things spin out. Cannot help worrying over our people at the hut. Although worrying does no good, one cannot do otherwise in this present important state. 11 p.m. Wind howling and whistling through rigging. Outside, in glare of moon, flying drift and expanse of ice field. Desolation. June 22nd. Today the sun has reached the limit of his northern declination, and now he will start to come south. Observed this day as holiday, and in the evening had hands aft to drink to the health of the king and the expedition. All hands are happy, but miss the others at Cape Evans. I pray to God we may soon be clear of this prison and in a position to help them. We can live now for sunlight and activity. July 1st. The 1st of July. Thank God. The days pass quickly. Through all my waking hours one long thought of the people at Cape Evans, but one must appear to be happy and take interest in the small happenings of shipboard. July 3rd. Rather hazy with very little light. Moderate west-northwest to southwest winds until noon, when wind veered to south and freshened. No apparent change in ship's position. The berg is on the same bearing, 1 point on the port quarter, and apparently the same distance off. Mount Melbourne was hidden behind a bank of clouds. This is our only landmark now, as Franklin Island is towered in perpetual gloom. Although we have had the berg in sight during all the time of our drift from the entrance to McMurdo Sound, we have not yet seen it in a favourable light, and, were it not for its movement, we might mistake it for a tabular island. It will be interesting to view our companion in the returning light, unless we are too close to it. July 5th. Dull grey day during twilight, with light variable westerly breezes. All around hangs a heavy curtain of haze, and although very light snow is falling, overhead is black and clear with stars shining. As soon as the faint noon light fades away, the heavy, low haze intensifies the darkness and makes one thankful that one has a good firm berth in the ice. I don't care to contemplate the scene if the ice should break up at the present time. July 6th. Last night I thought I saw open water in the shape of a long black lane to the southward of the ship, and extending in an easterly and westerly direction. But owing to the haze and light snow, I could not be sure. This morning the lane was distinctly visible, and appeared to be 200 or 300 yards wide and 2 miles long. At 6 p.m. loud pressure noises would be heard from the direction of the open lane, and continued throughout the night. Shortly after 8 o'clock, the grinding and hissing spread to our starboard bow, west-southwest, and the vibration caused by the pressure could be felt intermittently on board the ship. The incessant grinding and grating of the ice to the southward, with seething noises as of water rushing under the ship's bottom, and ominous sounds, kept me on the qui vive all night, and the prospect of a break-up of the ice would have racked my nerves had I not had them numbed by previous experiences. July 9th. At noon the sky to the northward had cleared sufficiently to allow of seeing Mount Melbourne, which appears now as a low peak to the northwest. Ship's position is 28 miles north-northeast of Franklin Island. On the port bow and ahead of the ship there are some enormous pressure ridges. They seem to be the results of the recent and present ice movements. Pressure heard from the southward all day. July 13th. At 5 p.m., very heavy pressure was heard on the port beam and bow, south, and very close to the ship. This occurred again at irregular intervals.